Well, hello, Nashville, Tennessee, United States, America.
Welcome.
What is this, the Western Hemisphere?
It's the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. Wow. Earth. Earth. Hello, Earth. Come in, Earth. Speak up. Can you hear me? We are here in a place called Tennessee. We are now. In your head.
Spacebar or this one? Okay, we're good to go.
Yeah, we're back.
Welcome back.
Are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
Nice.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you ready to experience all the wealth and depth of the love that I can give?
Wow. I hope so.
Oh, I'm full of shit.
Laying on pretty thick, aren't you?
I did a good job there for a second.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of hanging in there, and then everybody in our audience was like, "Whoa, vomit."
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop
well,
it.
Well, I'd like to welcome our proud sponsor.
Oh, yes.
Back to the show.
Yes, yes. What would we do without them?
Well, I suppose I'd be sober.
We'd have a very dull show without them, wouldn't
is
we?
Is that what it would be? Witchwood Hobgoblin Dark English Ale. It comes in 1-pint brown bottles. I recommend it highly.
Yes.
It is a...
Oh. Full-bodied and well-balanced with a chocolate toffee malt flavor, moderate bitterness, and a distinctive fruity character with a ruby red glow.
I think you're trying a little too hard.
Oh, come on. This is a commercial.
Well, it is a product of England, the Witchwood Brewery, somewhere in Witney, Oxfordshire, England. And you can find out more about it at www.witchwood.com.
Oh, I think you're trying a little too hard, putting on that radio voice.
I got to tell you, all I can hope for is that we get popular enough that these people start sending us this beer for free.
That would be cool. Yes. That's how lean these times are when we're hoping just to get some free Hobgoblin.
Man, I'd go for a free pint of Hobgoblin any day.
Oh, dear.
That's good stuff, ain't it?
It's great stuff.
Shit, you can't fucking make it no better. Yo.
It makes you want to go to England, doesn't it?
Yeah. It makes me wish I was in Europe, for Christ's sake. That and George Bush.
What?
Well, the great beer in George Bush. Those are two things that make me wish I was in Europe.
Oh.
You're a little slow on the draw.
I get
there.
It now. I didn't quite get it, but now I do. Ha ha. Yes. Well, what? It's going to be a few more years. Sorry, dear.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
Our audience is quick. You know, they.
You think they got that before
yeah,
I
hell
did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. You know. You're
trying too hard.
Trying too hard. Full of it.
All right. Well, Kim, tell me a little bit about this fashion.
How you like my attire?
Yeah,
yes.
You got a really interesting uniform on.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yes. 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 It's you know.
Well, let's describe it. Accurately.
Oh, it's, you know, the lovely shade of pink.
Pink.
Pink. Pink.
Pink soft bathrobe with fuzzy slippers. You like your night job, don't you?
It's my first time. My first time. I've never had a pink bathrobe and pink fluffy slippers. So this is sort of like a teenage outfit I never had, you know? Like the Grease outfit that the girls in Grease would wear or something. I never had an outfit like this.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
Oh. No. Did,
yeah.
No.
All right.
Yeah, let's move on.
Did I mention we have a really wonderful dog?
Yep. He's
sleeping.
He's sleeping.
He's beautiful.
Yep.
Sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
God, if only the rest of the world knew how to be just like him.
Yep.
You fucking bastards. I hate y'all sons of bitches.
All right. Don't get all Tennessee on us.
Sorry.
No, it's too bad.
I've had a lot to drink.
Yeah. You get too strident when you drink too much.
Oh, well, I just want to fight. God damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the redneck comes out.
I just want to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, get in your pickup truck
it
and drive drunk.
It might help if you ask some questions.
Oh, are you waiting for me to ask some questions?
I'm looking at this $5 bar chocolate.
You know what, Joel? I have some bad news for you.
It's no good.
That is not the $5 bar of chocolate. That's why it's still left over.
This
it's
is that cheap ass fucking nasty.
No, it's not the cheap ass.
It's Dagobah and it's so old.
It's Dagobah, and it had maybe ginger in it or something that you didn't like. I don't
know.
Maybe not ginger. Maybe it was cherries. It might have been like cherries.
See, and now how many times is it going to – how many times am I going to have to explain
English
to
is
you?
Our language? Yeah.
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 How many times do I have to explain that you there's certain things you don't mix? Chocolate and anything else besides peanut butter and like beer and any flavor other than beer.
Wait, whoa, what does this say?
It says chocolate, but it doesn't actually have chocolate in it.
A distinctive fruity character, chocolate toffee malt flavor.
It doesn't have that stuff in it. This is a difference. Like, you're putting, like, vanilla and almond and all that kind of stuff in your coffee.
I don't do that.
Pardon me.
Never. I only
have
straight coffee.
I'm saying,
coffee.
Like, there are certain beans that are, like, roasted to be flavored with, like, raspberry and French vanilla is a popular
yes,
one.
Yes, we all know that.
Right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So
you don't like that.
No.
Right.
Coffee.
You want it straight
make
up.
Coffee.
Straight coffee.
Chocolate. Make chocolate.
Okay. So you don't like. See, this is why there's still some of this chocolate left, because you didn't like it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we would have been out of it. So there you go. Sorry. Big disappointment. No found chocolate.
So
are you looking
Kim,
for questions?
I'm, you know.
Oh.
How do you feel about.
Oh, quit it. Make you up your own notes. All right, Joel.
Yeah, we're rambling.
Okay, fine. This is not.
And now we're self-conscious.
And now we're self-conscious and not going to be particularly interesting to
no,
anyone outside this
all.
Room. Because it's not particularly interesting to us. So, okay. So we entered the salon song search and we haven't heard anything. I guess that means,
well, no, wait a second. Did you go back to the website?
Yes, I did.
Right. And they had the green and white stripe song.
I didn't listen to
the
song.
And they had the motorcycle song.
How were the songs?
They were pretty good. They were very well produced.
That's what I figured. It seems
and
to me like they're picking
slick,
the well produced songs.
It was very professional,
right.
Very finished.
Right.
Right. But that's not what I was under the impression they were looking for.
I know.
So, you know, it's a tad bit disappointing.
Yeah.
In that way. That like I thought they were looking for something that
a little more character.
I'm not even gonna say that. It's something that's like I was thinking that they were looking for something that was hidden.
Yeah,
less polished and less sort of pitchfork.
Yeah. Well, no, I told you after discovering who the blogs were. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like these people who determine what's, you know, the smartest kind of music or the coolest, or it has all the right sounds to make it seem like it's all like alternative.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of, those people who dictate those things are, they're, you know, they're just so limited in their scope. Like,
it's like the Urban Outfitters of music or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta hit it on a nail on the head.
Yeah.
Or Target, even.
It's that super minimal, clean, somewhat pretty, but lacking depth.
It's the IKEA of
song. Initially, you're like, oh, that's cool. But then you take it home and you're like, oh, this, it's all right.
You know, candy is fine, but you can only eat so much of it.
Yeah.
And you can only experience so much of the satisfaction that candy can offer.
Yeah.
There's other kinds of things to eat in the world. And it's the same thing with music.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with writing. It's the same thing with film. It's, you know, there are certain segments of each.
Yeah, well, what's disheartening is that these are supposed to be the, I don't know, alternative.
Yeah, the renegades. Like, these are supposed to be the newest cutting edge.
The independent thinkers of music. And it's pretty
It's totally suburban.
Yeah.
And it's almost even Republican.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty Republican in their, with their stranglehold on musical taste.
And there's a certain delusion in the substance of the music that's being
that's
put out.
That's the problem.
It's
like not like this music is so riveting, so just something so different and unique and
vital.
Vital. That you've really, it's just the experience is just something that you've never had before. Yeah.
Like music used to be.
Yeah.
To one who was like witnessing certain performers, certain songwriters, certain events in musical history that were so overwhelming and so dramatically powerful and genuine that there was no denying the humanity in the act, and there was something dirty about it and rebellious and dangerous and fucking vital.
Yeah.
And that is so lacking.
They've taken the danger out of it.
They suburbanized every fucking thing, man. Target the music scene. That's it.
Yeah, it really is. It's weird. And it's almost like with the song, like the songs that they're choosing songs that are already sort of pre-programmed to be then sold right away. They're already ready for that, you know? They're already polished, and let's just throw it on the rack, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's just try to sell this to a label right
now.
Oh,
this is really clean. There's no noise in this.
You can put this on, you know,
the radio.
On the radio. Yeah. It's odd.
That's the way it's always been.
I guess, but Salon purports to be.
Or maybe you perceive Salon
to be a little bit more artistically oriented.
But no, they're just like the fucking Drudge Report. Give me a break.
Yeah.
It's all the same bullshit. It's all the same fucking people that have no intensity in their own being.
Yeah.
They've got a certain programmatic way of doing things and a certain sort of segmented view of society that they box themselves off, and then they tell everybody else to box themselves off.
Yeah.
And fucking people believe it.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Well, it's just very consumer oriented, consumer friendly.
It's all about making money.
Yeah.
This is America. What are you talking about?
And hence the lack of culture and great art. Well, I don't know. Still, that we do make great art. I don't know how.
Somehow. It does happen.
It's weird.
It's a fucking contradiction, this society.
It's fucking
I love weird. It, I hate it.
It's crazy. Well, I guess it's the conflict.
And that's probably where it all comes from. There's a struggle, a genuine struggle against the plastic nature of capitalism and how it engulfs all aspects of society. And then just that curiosity of, you know, children who've grown up and turned into artists that are continuing to be curious and continuing to strive to do something real. That's even a word.
They're striving to do something real within themselves. You know, find that part of themselves that is genuine, that has a real experience.
Right. It's the desire to be authentic.
Right.
And the desire to not be fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Versus everyone, what it seems to be, everyone's desire to
conform.
Just fucking be delusional.
Yeah.
And ignore what's really happening.
Yeah.
Again, we're back to you're either stressed out beyond the galaxy or you're in complete denial of what's going on. But, you know, I'm probably wrong. Who knows?
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't edit anything in our podcasts.
Maybe that's how came about.
A dead spot in a podcast created the chant.
Well, it's actually like
Have you had enough to drink?
Probably not. I feel rather sober. Why am I acting drunk?
Yeah.
Yes. I guess that's always when you're really drunk, when you feel thoroughly sober.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I feel sober. Okay, we're going to have to cut out the majority of this.
Hit the space bar.
You got it, yeah.
Oh, now you're going to stop talking?
Oh, what was I rattling on? I'm sure it was.
Oh, about philosophers?
Our philosophers, you know. That's what they've done for ages. Since the Enlightenment, they sat around the salons, they imbibed, they were naked.
They were naked. And we're not naked.
Well, you know, it's cold.
It's cold.
What the fuck? You know.
I don't think they were naked.
I'm naked under my clothes.
Trust me. Oh, you mean naked in a different sense.
I meant naked in the grander sense, you know. Open.
Yeah.
Not afraid.
Yeah.
No secrecy needed.
Everyone's afraid.
But courage is
acting in spite of
facing the fear that exists. Yeah, of course everyone's afraid. Yeah. Fear is a fucking real emotion. Mm-hmm. It really does exist, but standing up to it and saying, hey, I'm not gonna let this tower over me and force me to shut down.
Yeah,
I'm gonna face it. I'm gonna be and do what I believe is right, no matter what opposition I'm facing. You know, that's courage.
Yeah, the
there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Of course, if you're not afraid, then you're not human.
I agree. I mean, the more like I go on, the more I realize like how much fear is a part of existence. You know, when you're younger, you think you can sort of...
I'm sorry, I just lost my monitor.
Oh. Here.
Just touch the thing. A little bit. That's good. I'm back.
Okay. I was just saying, when you're younger, you sort of think that you can circumvent fear, you can overcome it, you can overpower it, kind of. But when you, I think, as time goes on, you realize fear is omnipresent. It's always there, in a sense, you know.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's what they say about kids, is that they're, you know, they think they're invincible.
Yeah.
But there's a certain point in your adolescence where you kind of realize, oh, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's probably like your first experiences with death.
Yeah.
You know, that like someone in your family dies, and you sort of really start to grapple with, what does that mean? The
right.
finality of death,
right.
you know? And then it's sort of, it may be like you know, is a gray cloud over you permanently.
Yeah, I think it's death, and but even on a smaller scale, you know, when you're just doing, or maybe you just become aware of how much fear is connected to anything you can do, almost, you
right.
know? Yeah. Yeah.
But I like to think of it as,
in terms of life and death.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
I guess
mortal struggle. Like,
it all comes down to that event. You know, really, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, because
fear of
I
death,
think you're
ultimately.
Not. You're not. You know, people don't stand up to their fears because I think ultimately, somewhere deep in their psyche, they believe it'll kill them.
Right.
This sounds drastic, but I honestly believe that like they feel like they
yeah,
will.
Yeah, no,
they
that's
will,
certainly true.
They
it's
will
a
end
mortal fear
if
yeah.
they continue on facing this thing. It's going to squish them.
No, that is true. I agree, and that's why people can't handle it.
And that's why people listen to talk radio.
Rush Limbaugh. Yeah.
I was just thinking that,
but we've already mentioned that pig's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, so let's not talk about that
yeah.
fucking bastard needs his head cut off.
He does. Despicable person. Despicable.
Yeah. Where's Osama bin Laden when you need him?
Where is Osama bin Laden?
That's a good
That's
question.
That's the question.
Mr. President, can
yeah.
you answer that question for
We've
me?
We've spent how many billions of dollars in Iraq?
I wouldn't
and
even
we
go into that. I mean, come on. If Osama bin Laden was the mastermind behind 9/11,
mm-hmm.
why is he not captured?
Why is
or
he on the
killed?
Loose? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Period.
Yeah.
That's a simple question.
Yeah.
Why is he not
we can
priority
detect
number
what,
one?
What North Korea is doing underground or whatever the fuck, but you can't find Osama bin Laden? Does he even exist?
Of course he does. He's, you know, he's
It's a phantom now. It's just crazy.
I'm not going to get into it.
This is too much.
He should just be public enemy number one. If he's
yeah.
if he's the cause of that event,
he should have been
be
captured.
Every resource the United States
yeah.
of America has ever had should
yeah.
be focused on capturing
our total energy
that
behind that. Yeah.
Nothing else should be
yeah.
a priority.
Like
but
the way you would go after Hitler or something.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Now, that's given the fact that the demonizing propaganda that has been put out about him is true.
Mm.
I mean, I honestly think that all this propaganda has come out, and here we are talking about him like he's the devil. We're only talking about him that way because of the media portraying him that
right.
way. Right. So if it's true, then the American government and military should, you know, unify its resources, everything it's got, to find this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think because that's not occurring, it's an indication that the propaganda is not actually true. There's a lot more going on there than we're being led to believe. Whatever. I'm not trying to say,
yeah.
you know, David Koresh was Christ, you know, but or Jim Jones had it right.
Well, it is odd because if somebody went ahead and knocked down the Twin Towers, then logically you would then just go seek retribution, capture them, put them on trial, put them in jail, whatever.
Just like any
Punish
other police
them.
Caper, you
right.
would solve the crime.
Right. But there seems to have been just like a total drop the ball, like laissez-faire attitude about it.
And not even just seems to be.
Yeah.
The President of the United States said very clearly, I'm not all that interested in chasing down Osama bin Laden.
Why not, Mr. Tough Guy George Bush? You know?
No, it's like, of course he's not interested, because that was never in his agenda to begin with. And the, you know, it's interesting to me to see now, 5 years later, 4 years on.
5 years later.
3 years on from the last the election, right? 3 years or two, or four
it's
years?
2004. So
okay,
it's
two years since the last election. It's interesting to me to see media reports and conservatives actually, and Democrats, anybody that's on the television now is starting to say things like, well, the Republicans or the conservatives have been co-opted or hijacked by an extreme wing of the conservative right, right? And they're starting to say that he's like, you know, that this administration is not in touch with the true conservative mentality, the middle of the road
fiscal conservatives,
all that stuff. It's shocking to me that they're just now saying that.
Right.
I mean, it was fucking obvious 5 years ago that this was
how
this,
delayed
no
reaction.
Difference.
How long does it take you to figure this out?
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's just.
It is disturbing the delayed reaction that seems to occur, like with Iraq.
It's too late to do anything about all the shit that's happened.
Like Iraq, we felt right away this was wrong. You know, we thought the Iraq thing was completely.
And millions of people went out to the streets and said, no fucking way.
No
man,
need for war. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11.
Exactly. And your proportions in the State of the Union that Africa's trying to sell yellow cake and all that crap is crap. There was so many people who knew that was crap.
Yeah.
But whose voices were squished and squelched to a point, but it was half the fucking country. That's what shocks me.
Yeah,
is that like 50% of Americans believed that all the assertions that were being made by the United States, the government, the military, etc., they believed that it was all a farce.
Right.
It was nonsense.
There wasn't enough evidence. Right.
Totally unfounded.
Right.
Right. Yet we still.
Somehow there was momentum to go to war. They got that
to
through.
Do it.
They just bulldozed it through. Yeah.
Like mounted horses.
They sent, what's his name, Powell to the Security Council.
And that guy, man, you know, when he faces his judgment or what,
that's,
you know,
sad. That's very sad.
It's a real fucking sad case there,
because
that guy seems to be very thoughtful, seems to be a reasonable, rational person, but
he pushed the
rolled
party line
over and took it in the ass.
Yep.
And then gave it to all of us in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sick scenario.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, and you and I know this, those buildings
did not collapse on their own.
We watched it with our own eyes. And that's
implosion.
The thing that people in fucking Idaho
don't
and
get.
Montana don't fucking understand.
Yeah.
And Tennessee and Florida, those motherfuckers who saw it on CNN 1,000 times over, didn't really see what we saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, we all thought out on the street looking at the building, we thought, oh, it's just a fire. A little fire on the one of the top floors. Okay, well, how are they going to get it out? It's okay. But never did it occur to us that that building would come down. You know?
Well, and never did it occur to us that the buildings were going to come down uniformly.
Straight down.
At the force of, like, it, you know, without resistance.
Right.
And straight down, imploding.
Right. One floor on top of the other. Yeah. It's
and didn't
awful.
We witness when I was living in Williamsburg on Richardson Street? We witnessed them implode the two tanks, the Purina fuel tanks.
Yep.
Like 6 months earlier.
It was in it was not even 6 months, it was in the summertime.
It was a few months earlier.
Was it in July or was it in June?
We had just yeah.
I think it was July. It might have only been 2 months prior.
And you know what? Tom has pictures of that.
Yeah.
We should get those.
I don't know how.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
I could email.
You could find those pictures somewhere probably. But yeah, and that collapse was
A controlled implosion.
Right.
Just like hundreds of other controlled implosions that happened
just
throughout
like
New York City.
The World Trade Center.
All the time. Right?
Yeah.
And it was a controlled implosion for no actual purpose.
Yeah.
Or do you remember the little controversy that was surrounding that?
Yeah, well, people didn't want it to be detonated
because airplane pilots were saying, this is a landmark that we use to fly into LaGuardia.
Ever since I lived in the city, it was a treasured little fixture,
like the Metropolitan Museum of Art or something.
Well, not really, it was like a landmark, like a building,
an
edifice.
It was the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
There were those
Like a cheesy Brooklyn industrial landmark. Not
it
a cultural landmark.
Yeah.
But it was cheesy. It was like the Purina, tanks.
Gas tanks.
Right.
But they were there.
They were a landmark.
And everybody knew where they were. Yep. So, but the interesting thing was, you remember from where I was living, we walked out on Richardson Street. There were the two tanks at the right end of the street.
Down the block, you saw that.
Down the block to the right.
Right.
To the east.
Correct.
To the east in the visible line of sight
was in Queens,
the two Purina fuel tank towers that they purposefully imploded and then didn't build anything after that. Like they just did it randomly.
Was that for practice?
Who knows? But the, at the opposite end, on the west end of visible, the west end visibility on Richardson Street was the World Trade Center, the two towers. So there were the two tanks and the two towers, the west and east view on that street. Very, very much a strange coincidence, juxtaposition of those two equal
monuments there.
Monuments,
yeah.
Right, exactly. And then not even 4-5 months later,
I think it was,
the towers came down exactly the same.
Very strange. Very strange. Okay, well, here we are. We're good to go, right?
Yeah, we're here. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Just getting ready for my patty melt. But in the meantime, you've been working on penetration for a while now. You were saying how you're glad, at least here in Nashville, you've had more time to spend on, say, just one song, like penetration. You haven't had as much time to spend on just one song, right?
No, I've had to rush through everything that I've been working on, and it's to the detriment of all the material that I have built at this point.
Right, because what is it? What did they say about Born to Run? How long do they work on that one song?
Over a month.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am going in 12 or 14 hour session trying to push out a Born to Run.
It
doesn't happen. Yeah. No, especially when
you're playing all the instruments and they're
third rate instruments.
Yeah.
Third rate recording situation. It's not even a recording studio, it's a rehearsal space.
Right. So, anyway. With penetration, you've done a lot of work on it. Like initially, when you had first recorded it, you had recorded that lovely acoustic guitar part. Like that was a new part that you had added to it. And you thought that was going to be the song, right?
Yeah.
That guitar part, which I can't get the melody of at all.
Yeah,
but
no, I know what you're talking about. It was, I mean, it made me, it gave me shivers.
Yeah.
It was like, this song
is
all
beautiful.
Brand new,
yeah,
again. And
yeah,
wow, I can't believe I wrote this part. And
yeah,
all of that kind of feeling. And it was great.
Mm-hmm. And so then you'd recorded that. And then what was the next step in the song? Because then we were going to submit it to the Song Search.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had that recorded. You had added the new acoustic stuff to the song.
Yeah.
And
in the process of recording that new guitar part, I came up with another sort of supplemental guitar part that was just there as a sort of a pad for the new part. Like,
right,
it kind of helped complement that part and fill up space. And,
right.
And I don't like to call it filler because it's actually a working part. It makes sense for it to be there. And it sounds good. It just, it wasn't complete at that point, even though it sounded complete to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in just in the process of recording and spending time with it, I came up with these other parts on an electric guitar.
Which you had never really considered for the song,
not
right?
Not once, no.
Mm-hmm. So that was a surprise for you.
Sure,
for
yeah.
You, right.
It came out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And I worked the melody until I got it really, really tight and locked in. And I could play it with flawlessly.
Huh.
And, you know, and then it just became, this is the melody for the chorus. And it superseded the original melody. So all these things sort of led to one to the next.
Uh-huh.
And now Penetration is a much wider spectrum song than I had ever anticipated it would be.
Hmm.
And I'm very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like it. It's a good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good song.
Huh. Okay. And you're still going to do some more work on it?
Yeah,
or?
I'm in the final mix stages, and then
uh-huh.
I need to do a little bit of like mastering.
Uh-huh.
And
when you
and
think
then
you'll
I'll
be done?
Well,
uh-huh.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could be done with it this week, and the next week here's something else
right.
that needs to change.
Yeah, because the song has certainly changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And the sonic quality of the song has changed a lot.
That's really
yeah.
what it is. I'm learning how to utilize the tools that I have that I have not had before. I'm getting better. I'm learning by trial and error how to manipulate things in a mix and how equalizing makes such a difference, and in all the musicality or even just the range of frequencies. I don't know the scientific way of describing it, but it just changes the initial reaction you have to the audio itself. If you're equalizing things correctly, it makes it easier to absorb the sound into your ears and your belly, and you know, if you're doing it right. And I'm only knowing that I'm doing it right because of the way it feels. You know, I'd like to be able to say I've got it scientifically down, but I don't. It's just the way, you know, I'm getting better, and I can tell that I'm getting better because of the way that the sound stage and monitoring the playback, it just feels like it's getting all around me now, much more than any of my mixes ever have.
Hmm. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's a bunch of rhetoric. It means nothing.
Come on now. Well, what song do you think you're going to work on next? Huh? You don't know?
No, I don't. I have a number of songs that are in the frontal cortex of my
cerebral
lobes. Or, but I have no fucking idea. Whatever comes
house?
Next. Atlantica, Boy Named Sue, Damnation, you know, those come to mind.
Now,
A Song to Bobby. Those
right.
are songs that Summer Reunion, Slow Eyes.
So these are all songs that you would you record these all from scratch at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because Penetration, you built on to, you added onto the original vocal and guitar that you had.
Yes.
Right. But these you would record
anew. Right. I had a previous session that I took just the rhythm guitar and the vocal,
mm-hmm.
and then I added, overdubbed the drums, bass,
right.
additional guitars, and then ultimately I dropped out the guitar and vocal and just added the vocal separate. And but yeah, no, this new work, I think, given that I have new tools.
Right, right.
I'll just start from scratch, especially given that I know a little bit more now about how to proceed from scratch than I used to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll do a better job as opposed to trying to repair an old session.
Right, that makes sense. That could sound really good.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out.
Uh-huh. So, of those songs, the one, what are the ones that you wrote here in Nashville? It would be Summer Reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you still have a lot of songs.
Eyes.
Oh, and Slow Eyes, right.
Those are two that came to me pretty quickly.
When you arrived here.
Yeah. I mean, that's
right.
What happens. When I find myself in a situation that's uncomfortable or new or... you know, I guess just geographically different.
A change.
Yeah, change in my life. I tend to have a flood of emotion and language that comes through in my writing.
Huh.
It's uncontrollable. It's just what happens.
Just comes out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. So you have a lot of songs to record.
I have a
still,
lot of work to do.
Right.
That's true.
So many songs. Yeah. Do you have a favorite song?
Do you?
Well, I've always told you that I think Penetration, maybe.
Is that your favorite song of all time? Or
of
is
yours?
That what you're asking me? Or, oh, of my songs?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think of all time. Do you have a favorite song of all time? Ooh. Wow, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it really is. It's very hard to do Ooh. Something like that. Because you like a lot of... I mean, I guess if I had to say one song...
That you couldn't live without.
I couldn't live without.
Ooh, I gotta think about this one.
Yeah, it'd be like a Rolling Stone.
Really? Wow. Okay.
It says everything.
What does it say?
Everything.
Such as, what does everything mean to you? What do you mean everything? Everything's different for everybody. What does it say?
No, but see, this is not a relative everything. This is like everything that means everything to everyone.
What does it say? What do you mean?
You should listen to it.
I have listened to it.
Apparently you haven't.
Oh, you're hedging the question. I see that. You're going to get scolded like Mike Wallace did by Diane Rehm. Mike, I asked you a question. Answer the question.
I don't remember that interview, but it sounded like maybe that was 60 minutes that one wouldn't want to miss.
Well, it was a 60 minutes turnaround because he was being interviewed and he wasn't responding. Honestly, he was avoiding the question.
You know, I'm going to edit all this.
You're going to hit the erase button here, huh?
Yeah,
no
exactly.
fair.
Hey, you're pinking.
Chill
out. What was the question? Oh, answer. What was the question?
I was asking you. You said it meant everything. And I said, well, what does that, what do you mean? What does that mean to you?
I think that it speaks toward naivety and awareness, strength and courage, and ignorance, and it's angry but righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tight. Yeah, it's and very on tight. The mark. Like, there's nothing wrong with that song. No one can deny that.
You said you liked his new record a lot.
Yeah, it's good.
Aw, ew. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, uh-huh. But I think it's grown on you a bit.
Yeah, I like this record.
Uh-huh. What's your like favorite song on the track. Album?
Oh, it has to be one of them.
Okay. Why are you giving me Bob Dylan responses right now? Just because we're talking about the guy.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
No, I mean, obviously the opening track is like, I've got balls and you don't.
Right.
It's a great
right.
song.
Right. He's still got it going on. Yeah.
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 But, you know.
But it's still a very, like, poignant record.
Completely.
You feel like
it's right where he is at yeah. this time, and he ain't making apologies for that.
Yeah.
This is me. You don't like it? What the hell?
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. What'd you say, the two words that only he could rhyme? What was it?
Sons of bitches and orphanages. How fucking brilliant is that line?
That's funny.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, good for him.
You're damn right. I'm glad he fucking knocked Justin Timberlake out of the fucking
That's
top.
Right.
Whatever. Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking naked cunt.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, getting to the top one of the top, you know, top 10 of the Billboard charts because they show their fucking pussies.
Yeah, it's true.
Stupid fucking porno bitches. What's her name?
Which one?
No, the one that.
Britney Spears?
No, the other one.
Christina Aguilera?
The other one.
I told you.
Now, there's plenty of other ones.
Another
I understand.
One?
You're going to go through a whole list of them.
Oh, my gosh. There's another one?
Yeah, the recently divorced.
Jessica Simpson?
That one.
Yeah,
stupid
yeah.
cunt. She was, I think she was on the top of the charts, you know, for being a stupid cunt that everybody wants to see what her cunt looks like, right? That's the only reason she's popular, because everybody wants to look at her labia.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous,
it's
you know?
It's pretty dumb. I don't know what that has to do with music.
It's yeah. got nothing to do with it. They
yeah.
want to see her sphincter.
I know.
There's nothing so to do with music.
Look at her pictures.
They
want to
stick their cock in her ass, period.
Okay. Oh, no.
So they'll shell out $16, $18 fucking.
It's
for
in her
a
ass.
CD.
It's not in her vagina. It's her ass.
Well,
it's
either one, man.
Okay,
like, hey, right. you know?
Or
whatever
mouth.
They can put her fucking
okay.
tongue on, you know? That's that's what people are into now.
Okay.
Fucking porno consumption.
Yeah, they want to desecrate. Yeah. I guess it must just be like, these figures are sort of idols now, and then they want to desecrate the idol. You know?
I don't know what the fuck it is, other than that people are fucking perverse
yeah.
and stupid.
Oh, God.
I'm going to pick up my hamburger now. I'll be okay. back in a minute.
Oh, no.
Oh. does that mean it's time? It's been an hour already?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
I think the show's over.
Gosh.
Ooh. Time flies when you're having fun.
I guess it does. It just is, it seems to go by so fast.
Can you believe it?
It's hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
Well, so will we do this again? Ever?